Dear songwriter, it's a quarter into 2024. Have you achieved some of those short-term first quarter songwriting goals that you set out for yourself? For me personally, I feel like I've done okay. I had certain habits that I wanted to implement in this first quarter, some of which I've been able to do, some of which I have failed miserably at. Ultimately, I think it's okay because it's less about perfection and more about progress. All that being said, I will be honest. As I personally get set to embark on a two-week tour in May 2024, at the time of recording this, playing completely new songs with a completely new project and a completely new band, and I start to plan and promote a summer songwriting retreat that I'll be hosting in August for my students and for people like you, I've been having a lot of feelings of self-doubt and imposter syndrome, and I'm guessing and suppose hoping I'm not alone in this. So I wanted to share 10 thoughts that have come up with me, 10 reminders, 10 perspectives, whatever you want to call them, that have come up over this last quarter one of 2024, many of which I've already shared on social media, so it's possible you've seen some of them already, in hopes that they may resonate with you. And you can take them into quarter two, into April of 2024, again, at the time of recording this. Doesn't ultimately matter when you're listening to this, but just to give you a little bit of context, all this to help you in your own journey with songwriting. My name is Connor Frost. I'm a professional songwriting mentor who's helped hundreds of songwriters now to write their first collection of songs. And this is Dear Songwriter, the podcast to help you confidently write and release your music so that you can live your most musical and creative life. Let's get into it. Okay, welcome to the show. Welcome back. I took a couple weeks off of recording. I was in a wedding in Mexico last week. I was also sick. I'm still feeling some of the residual effects of that sickness. Yeah, it's just been a long haul of just congestion and starting this prep for this tour that I'm going on. So I'm really just hoping to get over this because it's become a little bit concerning. But anyways, that's why I took a couple of weeks off. So if you are a regular listener and you noticed that I was providing replays of past episodes the last couple of weeks, thank you for your patience as I needed to get a little bit better and also needed to get back from Mexico and had a great time at my friend Roxana's wedding. So yeah, going to dive into this again. The way my process works with creating content and even songwriting is as things come up, whether they are content ideas, lyrics, I document them, right? And so sometimes I document them privately, whether that's in the notes app of my phone, or sometimes I actually document them publicly. A lot of these thoughts that you're going to be hearing today, I have shared over the last 3 months via Threads. If you're not familiar with Threads, it's basically the competitor version of Twitter. And so I encourage you all to do that as well, right? Like if you get a cool idea, whether that's a song idea or an idea that pertains to your brand or your values, don't be afraid to just share it, right? There's something about being able to document publicly, and it's okay if it's not totally fleshed out, if it's not perfect. I think that's part of the cool thing about being able to share so easily. So just food for thought is that if you're feeling reluctant to post, reluctant to share, I kind of just view it as my public note-taking forum with the understanding that I'm testing certain ideas, some of which are going to be cool, some of which are going to totally flop. And what you're hearing today is kind of a combination of those 10, some of which were better received than others. But again, reception aside, this is just 10 thoughts that have helped me over the course of this last quarter as I've dealt with a little bit of imposter syndrome, a little bit of self-doubt. So yeah, just wanted to bring this to you. So number one is, if I let the comments of someone with no profile photo get to me, I would have stopped writing songs a long time ago. Now, if you don't have a profile photo and you have made that choice, that is totally fine. That's not my point of this post. My point is that often the people who are going out of their way to say something mean or say something that's going to ruffle your feathers or insult you, they hide behind their account. So often an account with no profile photo, or it's some kind of photo, but it's like really blurry, or it's like a photo of a dog. And so the point is that If these people are going out of their way to hide themselves, then they are going through something, right? And so if I let the comments of someone who is clearly going through something and clearly is having trouble expressing that in a healthy way, I can't let that get to me. And if I did, I would have stopped writing songs a long time ago. I remember the first time I got a quote unquote mean comment was on YouTube. It was one of my music videos. This was back in like 2014. At first, I was like really taken aback. I later found out through the grapevine that it was someone I went to high school with, which is hilarious, who I never really talked to, who is also a musician. And they were older than me. And back in 2014, I was 26 years old. So this was like a 28-year-old dude who had a good upbringing lash out at me over YouTube. It's just like, when you think of it that way, it's pathetic in a sense and it's sad in a sense. Just to think about that, if that's something you're dealing with or if that's something that is keeping you from taking action because you're worried about those comments or you're worried about those people, hopefully that's helpful. So that's number one. Number two is to serve the song, not your ego. And I'm going through this a little bit right now. So for these songs that I'm currently working on, this is the most amount of like production that I have ever done for a song, right? So like typically I'll bring the song to basically just a rough demo stage, and then I'll go into a studio to work with the producer on the rest of it, right? But I'm finding myself really digging deep into the production of these new songs, really arranging them, even doing some light mixing to dial in some of the sounds of the instruments that I'm using. And this is definitely new territory for me. It's overwhelming. It's also exciting. And so I find myself in this place where I'm like, okay, I could try and bring this song from where it currently is all the way to being release ready and try to do it on my own without the aid of an additional producer and or a mix engineer, right? So that's one thought that I'm having. And part of me is excited about that possibility and that challenge. The other side of me is thinking, I know that if I were to bring someone else in who is a little bit more experienced than me, it's likely that their expertise and their experience and their knowledge is going to help elevate this song. I think regardless of what I decide, I keep coming back to this idea of serving the song and not your ego. Easier said than done, right? Because there are certain factors that come into play. And honestly, I'll just be direct, finances is one of them, right? The more people you get involved, I believe if you want it to be done well, you have to pay them. And if you want it to get done quickly as well or faster, you have to pay them. Because if you don't be surprised if things take longer than you would like. There are always going to be various reasons as to why you should or shouldn't do something. I think for me personally, being in the place that I'm in, where I have the luxury of being able to bring people in, I come back to this question or I come back to this idea of serving the song and not your ego. And again, I'm still working through this thought. I think ultimately I am going to end up bringing in other people to help me finish these songs. But I'm really proud of how far I've already brought them. And I'm excited about, even if I don't decide to go all the way through myself with the rest of the production, as well as the mixing and mastering, it still feels more like a possibility and it's exciting to me. Okay, so that was number two. Number three is that listeners are earned, not delivered. And this kind of goes back to this thought that I've had before, is that as artists, no one owes us anything. I'm seeing a lot of posts on social media complaining about the Instagram algorithm and social media in general and how it's like squashing organic reach and it's much harder to reach people. And I think what I land on is these platforms, they're free to use and no one owes us anything. No one owes us 500 views for every post that we make, 1,000 plays for every song that we release, right? And so I think if we can lock into this idea, listeners, they're not just given to us, right? We have to go out, we have to create relationships with our listeners. We have to become friends with some of our fans, and hopefully that happens naturally and it's not forced or manipulative. These listeners and these what you might call super fans, these people come into your lives as a result of hard work and genuine relationship building, right? So this idea that you put something out onto Spotify and people complain, right? Because their song doesn't get as many plays as they would like. And then you look at what they're doing and they're not really doing anything, right? They just kind of like put it out on Spotify. And again, that's not a knock necessarily on those people, but just the entitlement that I see sometimes of people being like, oh, this isn't fair, right? Or like, it's the algorithm. I just don't think it's a healthy approach. And if we can take the position of, okay, this is a long game and we need to earn listeners over the course of our careers, I just think that's a more realistic and a better outlook to have. And again, none of this is easy, right? I'm definitely not saying that. But at the end of the day, listeners are earned, not delivered. Hey, songwriter, I've talked about this before, but the Songwriter's Vault is open. The Songwriter's Vault is a free community where we host some free online classes from time to time. We allow you to network with other songwriters within our Facebook group. It's a great place to get some value, get some tools, get some tips for your songwriting, and it is all free. If you're interested in joining, go to connorfrost.com, C-O-N-N-O-R, Frost, F-R-O-S-T.com/vault podcast, V-A-U-L-T podcast. And I will see you inside the vault. Yeah, let's get back to the show. So that's number three. Number four, sometimes you have to record a song idea just to confirm that it sucks. That way, you can rule it out, move on from it, and make space for something that doesn't suck. This particular thought came about when I wrote a song. I wrote specifically a verse chorus, and it's one of the songs that I'll be playing on tour in May. And initially, when I wrote it, I had a verse, I had a chorus, and when I came out of that experience and I recorded the whole thing, I was like, wow, this chorus is awesome, but this verse is just flaming hot garbage, right? Just absolute, some of the worst writing I had ever done. And so what I did was I said, okay, not using this verse, let's use this chorus as a starting point. I re-recorded the chorus and I started to brainstorm ideas as to what an additional and alternate verse could be, using the chorus as a starting point, and I was able to come up with something that I think is really cool. I think we're afraid to learn that we suck, or we're afraid to learn that an idea sucks, but actually we need to learn that those ideas suck so we can cut them out and learn from it, regroup, and write a completely different idea. So if you find yourself avoiding recording, pressing record, because you're afraid of learning that what you have is terrible, just know that that actually might be an important part of your process and shouldn't be something that's being avoided. Okay, number five is that first draft is for turning thoughts into ideas. Second, third, and fourth drafts are for turning ideas into songs. So some of you have probably heard me talk about this before, but I think we put too much pressure on ourselves to knock it out of the park with the first draft. And I think sometimes when we do something like journaling, some of us might be feeling like, okay, by the time I'm done journaling, I need to have complete lyrics. And I just don't think that's the case, right? I think the first draft is really that initial brain dump, just getting these ideas out there. I think a lot of times in that first brain dump, in that first draft, you might not even come away with anything for the song other than the actual idea for the song itself. And so what I always tell my students and what I've said on this podcast before is to think in drafts, because you're not going to knock it out of the park with the first draft. If you do, that's great, but I would not rely on that being the case every single time, regardless of whether that's happened to you before or not. I would definitely develop an alternate process, because at some point that may or may not keep working. And if it does, then you are definitely the exception and not the rule. Number six, don't underestimate the power of an instrumental only section. Gives the listener some time to take a breath and catch up with the storyline of the song. So this was inspired by actually feedback that I got from a co-writer of mine. I was looking at adding what I would call a verse three, maybe you could call it a bridge, but for all intents and purposes, it was a verse three. And my co-writer was basically like, you know what? Maybe don't. Maybe have an instrumental section there. We could put in some kind of guitar solo or not. Maybe just let it breathe a little bit. And I recognized that it was not only a great idea, but actually necessary for the song. Because up until then, it was just words, 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 words. And there was no space for the listener to be like, okay, let me process this, have this soak in. And now I can't stop thinking about it. Now I'm kind of like, okay, where can I put these moments, whether they're full sections or whether they're short pauses, where we can allow the listener to catch a breath it's definitely been on the forefront of my mind, certainly. Number seven, writer's block is an invitation to try something new. Weirdly, I got some pushback on this. I don't think it's that controversial, but essentially, if you're running into writer's block, and there's a contingent of people who don't believe writer's block exists, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that if you're feeling like you have writer's block, then you should try something different, because what it means is you've hit a wall with what you're currently doing. I experienced this a few months ago, where I was just constantly writing, starting from rather, guitar, and specifically just chord progressions on guitar. And it started to feel very stale. And that prompted me, honestly, to start this new project and led to these four new songs that I'm going to be playing on this tour coming up. Basically, what I did was like, okay, I typically start with guitar. I typically use guitar as my main instrument for writing. I'm just going to not do that. I'm just going to eliminate the guitar altogether. And so what I did was I started from a place of melody, and I started from a place of program drums that I was creating in Logic. And that just completely changed the game for me. And like I said, it kind of birthed this whole new project. So if you're feeling writer's block, I would say that's an invitation to try something new, try something different, and see what happens. Number eight, if the alternative to failure is staying where you are, then which is the lesser of two evils? I think a lot of times people are afraid to pursue their songwriting or pursue their music or pursue anything in life, really, because the fear of failure is really large. And I get it. And it's scary. And I've certainly felt that. And I still do. And I felt a lot of that in this last quarter. But when I think about the alternative of not ever finding out or of staying where you are and not progressing, it begs the question, would you rather risk failure or would you rather risk staying where you are? And I was on a call with someone the other day and they were interested in the program. And ultimately, they decided that they didn't want to make an investment in their music. And so I asked them straight up. I was like, you know what? That's fine. A lot of times people get on these calls and they decide not to invest. But what now? And they basically told me, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing and it'll be status quo. And I could see the emotion on their face when they said that of, I'm deciding not to move forward today. And so basically that leads me to just doing what I'm doing, which isn't totally working. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be on this call with Connor in the first place, right? And so none of this is easy. And I think oftentimes our fear of failure too is not something that we can totally pinpoint. It kind of eludes us. It's in our subconscious and we don't even know that it's there, but it affects the decisions that we make or the decisions that we don't make. I think recognizing that is important and also an important question of which is the lesser of two evils, failure or inaction. Number nine, you may write an entire song just to realize only one part of the song is any good, but that will be the starting point for your next song, right through the suck. So yeah, I kind of talked about this already in number four. This is kind of like an offshoot of number four. If you write an entire song and you learn that only one part is good, right? Or even one part of a part is good. You could look at that from the lens of, that was such a waste of time. Like, I'm not going to use this song and I spent a month on it. But if from that song, you're able to get just a nugget of an idea that can propel you to write the next song that could be really good, then I would argue that that is worth it. Number 10, finally, number 10, people would rather yearn for a dream their whole lives than ever take action towards one. This was also a little bit controversial. I don't think it is, but some people were a little bit triggered by it. I think we can get a little bit obsessed with the pining for a dream. We can go a whole decade just like loving the idea of doing something. Oh, I would love to write a book someday, right? And then we tell our friends about it. I'm using that example because that's something that I actually would like to do and I'm having trouble really getting started on it. I'd love to write a book someday, right? And so we tell our friends and our friends say, oh, that's a great idea. You should write a book. Oh, that would be so awesome. I think we get caught in this trap of like, we love the dream. We love pining for something. I'm no stranger to this. I'm not above this. It's like really wanting to go to a certain destination, a certain country, and your whole life, you're like, oh, I'm going to get to Bali one day, right? Or I'm going to get to Lisbon one day, right? And it just becomes like almost like part of your identity. Oh, I would love to get there. And then your friend's saying, oh, yeah, it's beautiful. You should. And just become obsessed with the dream. But as soon as we take action towards that dream, then there becomes the possibility that it may not happen. And that's scary because not only could that lead to it not happening, but you get rid of this dream that you had, this pining that you had for something. It's kind of this almost like double kill of two possibilities just all of a sudden being gone. And that's scary. So I think we can sometimes be in a trap of rather desiring for something or yearning for something than ever actually going after it, because we don't want to lose that yearning. We don't want to lose going after that dream and the feeling that comes with one day, which can be in certain ways intoxicating. So yeah, there you go. 10 thoughts. I'm going to reread them right now for your benefit, I hope. Number one, if I let the comments of someone with no profile photo get to me, I would have stopped writing songs a long time ago. Number two, serve the song, not your ego. Number three, listeners are earned, not delivered. Number four, sometimes you have to record a song idea just to confirm that it sucks. That way you can rule it out, move on from it, and make space for something that doesn't suck. Number five, first draft is for turning thoughts into ideas. Second, third, and fourth drafts are for turning ideas into songs. Number six, don't underestimate the power of an instrumental-only section. Gives the listener some time to take a breath and catch up with the storyline of the song. Number seven, writer's block is an invitation to try something new. Number eight, if the alternative to failure is staying where you are, then which is the lesser of two evils? Number nine, you may write an entire song just to realize only one part of the song is any good, but that part will be the starting point for your next song, so write through the suck. Number 10, people would rather yearn for a dream their whole lives than ever take action towards one. Hope one or more of these resonated with you and you can take them into the second quarter of 2024. Thanks as always for listening. This has been episode 106, unique episode 106. And yeah, I will get back into the flow of doing regular episodes. Thank you again for your patience if you are a regular listener these last couple weeks. And yeah, talk to you soon. And as always, happy writing.